The first reading is taken from Acts 10, verses 34 to 43, and can be found on page 1104 of the Church Bibles. Then Jesus began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Please can I invite you to stand as Steve brings us our gospel reading this morning.
The gospel reading is Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 12. A similar version can be found on page 1061 in the Bible. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. So, loving God, we thank you for your gospel to us this morning. For that story of your rising from the dead and the way in which that happened and what it means for us today. May our hearts be open to receive from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. So I have to say, when that gets read out, you know, when the women, whilst it was still dark or very early in the morning, it says in different Gospels, that means something very special, especially to those of us who turned up at 6 o'clock this morning, and it was quite dark, and we sort of felt like we were sneaking through the darkness with the spices to tell this story again. But the phrase that jumped out at me as I was reading that passage was that these things seemed to them an idle tale. Have you ever told someone something that was important to you and have them not believe you. Perhaps especially as children, we got used to telling adults, someone, you know, who had more authority than we did, something, only to have them question us, or perhaps to reinterpret what we were saying so that it made sense to them, but perhaps bore little resemblance to what we were actually trying to communicate. I know that reality to be true because I know that I have done it as an adult myself. No, you must have got that wrong. Maybe it's this way instead. We're all liable to patronizing self-important behavior. You can imagine the disciples' response to Mary and the other women. No, you've got that wrong, surely. Perhaps you went to the wrong tomb in your distress. No, you've got it wrong. You're probably a bit overwrought, hysterical even. No, I think you've got that wrong. Perhaps you've told yourself a story to comfort yourself. You have created for yourself an idle tale. This is, after all, what women do. You can't ever get the resurrection story whilst getting away from the fact that actually Jesus chose women to be the first preachers of this idle tale. It's actually quite central to what Jesus is trying to do. These women, all women, who were considered unreliable witnesses in court, they couldn't bring a witness statement because they were considered unreliable. So why? I mean, it seems that it's an important thing, isn't it, that this story is believed? Why then did he set it in the mouths of these women and not in those who were considered the most important, the most revered, the most powerful? Surely, then all would believe. Because they trusted the person telling it. And surely, the more idle the tale, the more important it is to have an important person telling the story. And instead, they have an idle tale told by a woman. Jesus seems to be being very careless with his resurrection story. But then, just right at the end of that text, in verse 12, Peter, something seems to drop, the penny seems to drop from him, something seems to strike him. He seems to get it, and he jumps up and runs off to check. Perhaps, I think, maybe, it just struck him that if anything was true about the whole story of Jesus, it is that it all seems like an idle tale. It is silly and ridiculous and scandalous and quite the sort of story that children tell about a world as it should be if the world was right. And the kind of thing that adults say, no, that's wrong, you've got that wrong, it doesn't work that way. Perhaps it struck Peter that if he'd learnt anything from listening to Jesus, it is that the way in which a message is conveyed is as important as the message itself. You know, how we do things is as important as what we do. And Jesus, after all, is the king of the idle tale, the parable storyteller, the riddle master, the questioner par excellence. So perhaps it struck Peter that this is exactly what Jesus would do. That the exactly right person to be the vehicle of this particular idle tale would be women. That Jesus, who welcomes little children, who eats with fraudsters and the ones society considers beyond the pale, who ignores, in fact, the important people, except when he's telling them to wind their neck in and to check their facts, who says over and over again in many different ways, the first will be last and the last will be first, which is an idle tale if ever I heard one, that this Jesus was only ever going to send a woman to tell the idlest of idle tales. That regardless of what it looks like, love wins. That regardless of what it looks like, death is not the end. That regardless of what it looks like, violence does not get to have the last word. That regardless of what it looks like, the kingdom of God is here. That regardless of what it looks like, blessed are the poor. That regardless of what it looks like, the meek will inherit the earth. That regardless of what it looks like, the humble will be lifted up and the proud will be brought down. That regardless of what it looks like, the hungry will be fed. That regardless of what it looks like, the sad will rejoice. That regardless of what it looks like, the homeless will find a home. And regardless of what it looks like, Jesus is alive. And so this Easter morning, may we listen to this idle tale again. And like Peter, get it and rush to see the tomb. That we get that this is how God saves us, and it could never be any other way. May we believe it in our guts so that we may become all over again tellers ourselves of that idle tale that the kingdom is here and Jesus is alive. Amen. Alleluia.